name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, stir it up, folks. Praise God. Praise God. Don't make me come back there. I'll do it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He's wonderful, isn't he? If you have your Bibles, you can go to 1 John chapter 5. And verse 4 is where we're going to start. Before we pray and get into the Word, in case you were not here Wednesday night, it's important that I share the testimony that happened because it marked something so wonderful. Back on July 26th, of course, most of you know this, I was ministered to at a Pastor Nancy Dufresne service where I was called out by another minister that she sensed in her heart had something to share in the service with hundreds of people in that service. And he had a vision about me. He's a minister out of Colorado, had a vision about me, which is quite amazing. I just think God is awesome how he does things. But anyways, he ministered about how he saw that, you know, I've been known as Pastor Mike, but I'll be more known as Miracle Mike. And we embrace that, don't we? We're excited about that. Well, the following Wednesday, August 3rd, I had talked to Kim on the phone, and she had mentioned how she had went to the doctors, and they had run some tests, and they told her that she was going to have heart surgery. Well, after I got off the phone, I was praying for the service and just getting ready. The Spirit of God prompted me that at the night service, I was to lay hands on her for that. The Bible says we can do that. And so it was a Wednesday, August 3rd, and so we did. We laid hands on her and prayed. And after that, the Spirit of God said to me, and actually I think the right wording was, not this is the beginning, but and so it begins, if I remember right from that Wednesday night. Up from my heart after I laid hands on her, it was, and so it begins. And I knew what that meant, and the Spirit prompted me to go to the book of John where Jesus performed his first miracle, which was in Cana, the wedding there, where he turned the water into wine. And in the Bible, it says this is the beginning of miracles which Jesus did. And so I knew what he was saying. And again, we know that God's the miracle worker, not Pastor Mike, right? And we know you have just as much a part in it as me in your hunger level. And so it begins. Well, the Spirit of God wouldn't say that unless the problem was going to get fixed. And Wednesday night, you know, it was on my heart that we're going to put a hook in this baby you're believing for. And we'll be announcing your baby sometime soon. It's coming. I brought them their gift today. Don't worry about it. I told them I was getting them a baby gift by faith, and so I didn't forget. Hallelujah. And when I called her up to pray for her and to release our faith for once and for all and to put a hook in that, she stopped me and told me the testimony that she went back to the doctors and they can't find anything wrong with the heart. Praise the Lord. And so it begins. Hallelujah. Amen. And so it begins. Hallelujah. And so this is not a time to be sitting on the sidelines, on the bench. This is a time to be all in with God because he endeavors to move in your life and to do something mighty in your midst, but it's going to take your cooperation. And so, amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. We give you the glory and the praise for that. All the miracles, the signs, and the wonders that are to come, Father God, we thank you. It is because of you. Father, you are the miracle worker. You are the sign and wonder doer, Father. We just want to cooperate with you in whatever role that would be, if it's praying, if it's hungering, if it's the ministering, whatever, Father. You're God, and we can do nothing without you. And so thank you. And Father, thank you for the word this morning. Father, this is a vital message for the body of Christ, for this church. I pray that hearts would be open to receive it. Father, thank you that you're going to say something through me that's going to strike a chord in everybody's heart. And Father, my heart is that my speech and preaching would not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Father, so that people's faith would not rest in the wisdom of a man, but in the power of God. And so we thank you for it. And Father, as you're speaking to us this morning, it will be a sign unto us that you are real, that you love us so much to talk to us, but that this is also a safe place where we can come and hear the word of God and be fed by you. And so, Father, we glorify you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Of course, we started a series last week. 1 John 5 and verse 4 is the golden text of the series. It says, whatsoever is born of God, you say, what does that mean? That means just to accept Jesus. For whatsoever is born of God, notice this, overcometh the world. I love that our DNA is overcoming DNA. Amen. That God has given us, when I say the legal right, I mean we can only ever have what he says we can have. He's given us the legal right to overcome the world if we're born of him. Well, you say, what does that mean, overcome the world? Well, the opposite of the world would be God's kingdom, which is heaven. Well, think about the traits and the characteristics of what's going on in heaven. There's no sickness in heaven. There's no disease in heaven. There's no depression in heaven. There's no poverty in heaven. There's no worry in heaven. There's no stress in heaven. But, you know, those things are really the common flow of what this world is, right? I mean, you can't watch the news. You can't be around people for very long until you start to, you know, hear all the negativity and the doubt and unbelief and the griping and the moaning and the complaining and just, you know, sad story after sad story. So that's the world's flow. So the Bible says we have been given the right to overcome, which means be victorious over anything that this world can throw our way. You have the right, biblically, to overcome sickness and disease, poverty, fear, worry, stress, anxiety, depression, all those things that are of this world. The Bible says, as a child of God, you have the right to overcome that. That's good news. That's good news. See, it's not, as the chips fall, I guess that's my lot in life. Nope, 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 nope. As a child of God, you are different.
That's right.
You are different. But the Bible says you have a part in that. It's not just being born of God. That gets you in the door. But it says this is the victory. This is the victory. So whatever comes after this is the victory, that's what we better become good at and skillful at to be overcomers of everything the world throws us. He said this is the victory, even our, and I love it how he makes it personal. He didn't say even your pastor's faith will carry you. Even Brother Hagin's faith or Pastor Nancy Dufresne's faith will carry you. Even your spouse's faith will carry you. Or grandma or grandpa, who is a pillar in the church, will carry you. No. He says, if you want to overcome, the victory is going to come from your faith.
That's right. Amen.
Amen, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to overcome in this world, your faith is going to have to be at the center of that overcoming. So we're going to talk about faith. And I talk about faith a lot, and it's on purpose. Why? Because that's what the Spirit of God said we would do in this church. And you say, how long are you going to talk about faith? Till everybody's walking in health, till everybody's walking in victory, till everybody comes in and smiles at me when I say, how you doing? They don't give me the, oh, until we get rid of those, and oh, you wouldn't even know, Pastor, and the trembling in their voice, until that's all gone, till everybody's walking in the prosperity and the fullness of what God has, I'm going to keep preaching faith, because until you're doing that, you need it. Until, if there's one thing in your life that you're worried about right now, you need it. If there's one thing in your life right now that you're fearful about, fretting, stressed, or anxious about, you need faith.
Right.
Amen. So I'm giving you what you need in this series. Hallelujah. And we saw last week in Mark chapter 11 and verse 22. Of course, we know the famous scriptures after Mark 11, 22, which is in verse 23, says we can have what we say. Verse 24 says we can have what we pray. Those are our key faith verses in life. That Jesus said we can move mountains with our words, we can cause things to come out of nowhere by our praying. That's awesome. That tells us we don't have to be settled and just put up with the status quo. But notice before those verses in verse 22, Jesus answered and said to him, the first thing you need to do is have faith or confidence or trust or persuasiveness in the living God.
Amen.
Now, why would that be? Well, in verse 23, it says, if you speak to the mountains will be removed. If you pray, God can cause those desires of your heart to come to pass. Well, here's the thing. If you're praying for healing, if you're praying for the job, you're praying for the vehicle, you're praying for the prosperity, you're praying for whatever it is, you don't have the ability to make it come to pass. If you did, why would you be looking to God? The reason you're looking to God and needing to use faith is because you can't do it on your own. Well, you can get in the gate and believe and stand your ground, but the manifestation or the causing it to come to pass is ultimately going to be at his hands.
Yes.
He causes the healing to manifest. He causes the money to come. He causes the jobs, the children, whatever you're believing God for, it's all because of him. And so we saw last week, and I would encourage you to go back to last week and listen to that about 10 times. And after you listen to it about 10 times, listen to it about 10 times more, because the beginning root of faith, and people don't understand this, the beginning root of faith is having a sold out mentality that your God wants to do it for you. That not only he can do it for you, but that he wants to bless you more than you want yourself to be blessed. Amen. Until you can have an attitude like your cocky little arrogant pastor has about that God loves me more than anybody in the world, until you have that attitude, until you have that mentality, that when that comes out of my mouth, you say, he is a fool, he's lying, he can't love pastor more because he loves me more than anybody. Until you have that attitude, you don't know how much God loves you. You don't know how much the apple of God's eye that you are. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not kidding you when I say I believe God would jump over every single human being in this world to get to me first. And I'm not kidding when I say it. Don't see a smile, do you? I'm not messing around. I'm not messing around. People look at me like a cow at a new gate. You know what a cow at a new gate? They're like, I've never been. What? Or, where's this? Never been here before. Because they don't have that mentality. Well, I've just renewed my mind and accepted the fact that I'm so loved. That it was proven to me. Like, I don't even have to try to think about it or figure it out. It was demonstrated to me through what Jesus did that I am wonderful in his sight. That everything I could ever need or desire, my Father says, yes, son, you can have that. Yes, son, I want that for you. Yes, son, let's do whatever it takes to make that happen for you. That way, when sickness shows up or poverty shows up, and I know I have to look to him to make it come to pass, I'm not in the back of my mind wondering, does he really want this for me? Because that's not, if I'm wondering if he wants it for me, I can't have the faith that it requires to receive from him. Because the Bible says that Bible faith is true persuasion. It's convinced. It's that without a shadow of a doubt, you know it's going to happen. Just as much as you know tomorrow morning the sun is going to come up, you know the healing's coming. You know the money's coming. You know whatever God has spoken in your heart, it is coming. That's persuasive faith. But until you're sold out that God is for you and that he's good, you'll never get there. You'll never get there. Why? Because you can't have anything outside of what he would want for you or what he feels about you. So go back and listen to that message. I think I told you do it 20 times, maybe go 30 times. I don't know what it'll take to get it into your heart, but get sold out like David was. He woke up saying this. He said, surely. I mean, he woke up with surely every day. I don't think that was his wife's name, but anyway, that's who he woke up with. He said, surely, goodness. And I mean, he told surely every day. He said, surely, I'm just thinking of the old Naked Gun movie where he said, what did he say, don't call me Shirley or something like that? I don't remember what he said, but Leslie Nielsen was funny anyways. And said, surely, goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life. Well, all the days of his life had not happened yet. All the days of his life were tomorrow, but he said, I know tomorrow goodness and mercy are following me. Yeah. Why? I know who I am. Yeah. I know whose I am. I know who I'm connected with. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll go to Mark chapter 5 and verse 25.
Good word.
Amen. Now I got Naked Gun movie one-liners going through my head like crap. I mean, they're just shooting through my head. Oh, Lord, help me not to say any of them. Because sometimes I just never know what's going to come out. I don't have much of a filter sometimes, it seems, in controlling what comes into my head. And so just stop. I'm telling myself, just stop right now, because they're just shooting right through. Mark 5 and verse 25 says, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, suffered many things of many physicians and spent all that she had and was nothing better but rather grew worse. Do you see the condition she's in?
Yes.
Horrible. She's broke. She's hopeless. She's probably weak from that condition. 12 years. You have to know something about the Old Testament, that when females would have blood disorders, they would be called unclean. And if they would go out in public, they'd have to let everybody know that they were unclean. And if they bumped into somebody, that would make them unclean. And it would send them into this whole ceremonial washing ritual that was a big pain in the rear for the person that got bumped into. And so not only was she hurting, not only was she broke, she was full of shame. I mean, how terrible. You go walking around the street saying, unclean, go walking down to Walmart. I'm unclean, don't touch me. Can you imagine where she's at? She's in a desperate position. And says she grew worse. So she kept getting worse and worse. Verse 27. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? See, everybody else was thronging him, the Bible said, and touching him, but he didn't even notice that. But something different when she touched him. He said, ooh, I feel something just went out of me. Something just went out of me. His disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you and you're saying, who touched you? Like, come on, Jesus, get a grip. Everybody's touching you. And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, your faith. Everybody say, your faith. Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and behold thy plague. The body of Christ has so little revelation on what their faith can do for them. The word tells us here that faith has the ability to make you whole. Your situation's whole. What's lacking in your life? Finances? Peace of mind? Is there something in your body? What is it? Your faith, I love it. It's not up to somebody else. It's not up to some random lottery in heaven. I just, you know, I go up to the machine and just pull and I hope my numbers come up with God. No, my faith is always, and isn't it amazing that many people were touching him yet only one got something? The one that brought faith. The one that brought faith. That's what I mean by saying that God will pass over a million people to get to the one person that has faith. Why? He's moved by faith. He's moved by faith. What gets God moving? Faith gets God moving. You want God to show up at your doorstep and in the scene of what you're going through in your circumstances? Bring faith to the equation. Yes. He said, daughter, your faith made you whole. I love that. He said, you did it. You did it. Praise God. Your faith. See, because he was saying, I'm always available to heal. I'm always available to bless. God is saying through Jesus here, it's not on me because I never change. My promises are yes and amen. Healing's always available. Answers are always available. Prosperity's always available. Freedom in your mind is always available. But he's saying, you have to do something about my availability. Praise God. He's saying, you did it, lady. I haven't changed. I didn't all of a sudden turn it on for you. You're not any more special than anybody else. I'm the same Jesus all the time. Well, she did something different. Her faith made her whole. Praise God. So go back to verse 27 here. We know she was in a bad position, unclean. 12 years she suffered this. Something caused her to do something different on this day that got the ball rolling to her wholeness. Something, ladies and gentlemen, is going to have to cause you to get the ball rolling towards your manifestation or the end result of whatever you're believing God for. See, James 1, we don't have to turn there, or James 2, I should say, 17 says that faith without works is dead. That's what it says. Faith without works, what's a work? An action, a corresponding action that backs up your faith. Amen. It can be thanking God for the manifestation of what you don't see. It can be you're believing God for a baby and you go out and buy baby clothes before there's a baby. It can be you're believing God for something in your home or a new house and you have certain suitcases that are set aside and packed. Whatever, just some kind of corresponding action that shows that you have some sort of work with your faith. The Bible says without works, faith is dead. And people say, wait a second, I thought we didn't get saved by works. You didn't get saved by works, but once you get saved, your works are everything.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Let me say that again because zoop, right over some people's head. Let me say it again. By grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. That's how you get born again, by the grace. But once you're born again, what you do, your works, is everything. Your life rises and falls based on what you do.
Amen.
Amen. I know people aren't teaching that and saying that, but the Bible says the victory that overcomes the world is what you do. Your faith, praise God. Hallelujah. And so faith needs an action. Well, an example I thought of, you know, I like to shoot. I like to hunt and different things. And you know, a bullet in and of itself is really kind of harmless and really can't do much hunting, just a bullet. But you stick a bullet in a gun and you give that bullet action. What do I mean? What's the action you give a bullet? You pull the trigger. That's the first thing to get that bullet to go down range is you got to pull the trigger, right? Once you pull the trigger, a firing pin gets sparked and hits the back of that primer and that lights something and Jeff would be able to tell you more. But I'm close, right? I'm on the right path. As long as the bullet ends, of course he's going to say that. We pay him to say I'm right on. Let him explain the workings of a gun. But anyways, I know when you pull the trigger, the bullet comes out. Well, the bullet doesn't come out and do what the bullet can do until the trigger's pulled. Well, you can have all the faith in the world, but until your faith is given some action, until the trigger's pulled in your faith, nothing happens. Well, the trigger pull for this woman was 12 years suffering, but it all changed when, see that there? When, see, because notice this, Jesus was in her town, yet he wasn't going to her house to heal her. Jesus was on the same road as her, walking, and she had to struggle to get to him. He wasn't seeking her out even when she was there in his presence. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, God's not just seeking you out to dump the blessings on you. You got to bring him to you. It's just the truth. He said, though, I'm looking to and fro over the whole earth, back and forth, to find somebody who will trust me, somebody who will believe. Because once he finds that, he can say, all right, time to pounce on that situation. Because he can't violate his word. Can't violate his word. And so the action that got her to do something different, the end result was her wholeness, was when she heard of Jesus. The trigger pull for your faith is the hearing. Because if you can hear it, you can have it. What do I mean? If you can hear it in the Word of God, you can have it. It's yours. Yeah. It's available to you. If you can hear it in your heart, because there's certain things that there's not scripture for, what job to take, where to live, what spouse, whatever, all these different things, timing on when to have children. I mean, all different types of things. There's no scripture on that, but there's a Holy Ghost. Yeah. And when he says something to you, if you can hear it, you can have it. Amen. Amen. When she heard of Jesus, everything changed. Everything changed. The trigger got pulled. The faith went downrange to her wholeness, her bullseye wholeness. Amen. That's what happened. Praise God. I remember, coming into Family Church in 2002 and hearing things that I didn't even know existed. And I was in church my whole life. I slept through most of the church. I loved Buffalo, the Bills season, because we had season tickets, and that got me out of 8 services at least. I mean, I was trying to get out of as many as I could. And besides, there was a guy called Grandpa Lloyd, and every time I would walk through the door, he would give me a noogie that was of epic proportions that just made me hate the place. I hated it. I'm surprised I don't have a bald spot from the noogies, but I hated it. And so I avoided it anyways, but I remember coming into Family Church and hearing things. I've been around the Bible. I went to Christian school till I was in third grade. Went to church growing up, and never heard any of this stuff. I didn't know God was a healer. I didn't know Jesus was a provider. I didn't know I could live the abundant life. I didn't know heaven on earth was possible. But you know what? Everything changed once I heard.
Amen.
Everything changed once I heard. Praise his holy name forevermore. Go to Romans 10 and verse 17. Romans 10 and verse 17. The trigger pull for your faith is the hearing. If you can hear it, you can have it. Praise God. I remember when we were looking for a house, and I saw one that I naturally liked, and we had looked for 26 months, and I saw one that I naturally liked and pulled up to it and saw the sign out front, the Real Estate Advantage sign, and looked it up online, and saw the price and said, well, that's not my house. But I had a leading in my heart to at least go look at it. I didn't know if it was just to go look at it to enlarge my faith, to get my faith on something else. But something interesting happened when I walked through the front door of the house and I saw throughout the living room and out through the kitchen into the laundry room, it just kind of flows an open floor plan. I saw that the Spirit of God said, this is your house. I said, oh. That changes things. Because there's certain things that you might want, but you might not be able to receive if it's not the will of God for your life.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
And if you don't have the faith for it. Well, I thought, that's interesting, because I don't have the money or even close to the money for it. The bank has told me there's no way I'm getting the money for it. But you're saying it's mine. And I said, okay, if I can hear it, I can have it.
Yeah.
Amen? And I heard it, and it got the ball rolling. See, the problem with many people's faith is they just have not heard enough. Why? Because Romans 10:17 says this. So then faith, what's faith? The ability to bring you everything you need, desire, and want in this life. Faith cometh or shows up on the scene, which you need, that's your victory. faith cometh by hearing and hearing the Word of God, whether it's the Word in your heart or whether it's the Word on the pages of the Bible. That's how faith comes. That woman was in her misery, struggling for 12 years broke, and everything changed in one day when she heard. When she heard, there's a different path for me. There's a different opportunity for me. Everything changed. Everything changed because the hearing motivated and pulled the trigger of her faith. Praise God. This is why, now don't get mad at me, this is where we're going to crank things up. I can sense it in my heart, and we're about to go to some bold places. But you need that, praise the Lord, because I'm not some weasel wuss pastor that's going to just stand up here and tiptoe around and just try to make everything just so we can appease everybody. No. I'm not trying to appease you. I'm trying to appease my God. And Jesus was a bold guy, so I'm going to follow in his footsteps. This explains why people's faith is low or high, little or much, because their hearing is having problems, and they're not hearing enough word, and so they don't have enough faith for what they need. Why? Because the only way faith comes for your situation is the hearing of the word. There's no other way to get faith. You can strengthen your faith by using it like a muscle, but you can't pray for faith. Never once in the Bible do we see praying for faith as being scriptural. You can't hope for faith. You can hope for it, but it won't come. You can't wish for it. You can't, upon a star, I wish I had more faith. Or, oh, Father, send me more faith. He's going to say, I gave you my word. I told you how to get more faith. Do something about it. He said, faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. The more hearing equals the more faith. The less hearing equals less faith.
Yeah, that's good.
Why do some trials absolutely trip people up, scare them, cause them to tremble, cause them to doubt, cause them to fear? They just haven't heard enough.
Yeah, that's good. Amen.
They just haven't heard enough. See, she went from being depressed and hurt and broke and sick and full of shame. She threw all that out. How do we know? Because she pressed through a crowd, bumping into multitudes of people, making each and every one, bam, unclean, bam, unclean, bam, unclean. Didn't care anymore.
Right.
Didn't matter to her. She's not shouting through the crowd now, I'm unclean, I'm unclean. Why? She doesn't care. Why? Everything's changed. She heard something. All of a sudden, the situation, the circumstance wasn't so big, bad, scary anymore because she heard something.
Yeah.
See, if you... Healing won't scare you, and sickness won't scare you if you hear enough on healing.
Yeah, that's right.
It won't. Prosperity and poverty won't scare you if you have enough hearing on prosperity.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. I remember, I won't go too long in this, you all know the story, when I got the after-school job, and was in charge of over 100 kindergarten through fourth graders at the one of the worst schools in Jamestown. What I mean by worst, just the behavior problems and the things I had to deal with were some crazy stories. And then I had to deal with a staff that hated me because the lady that got fired was responsible for hiring all her friends. And it was basically just this chaotic, it was almost like a riot. I wish I went in riot gear. Every day after school, it was awful. And you got to remember, that was January of, 2005, when I got that job. And I had just come off years earlier, 26 jobs in 2 years, no integrity, no character, no responsibility. Got born again and quit the job I had then. Finally, didn't quit jobs anymore. Got a job at the general store in Falconer, at a convenience store. Heard go to Rhema, went to Rhema, came home to take care of my dad who had a stroke. And in that time of, in 2004, when I came home, started seeking God for a job. And then the job that he gave me, this is just the stupidest thing in the world, I was the boss of 15 to 20 people. And I didn't have any experience or nothing. And I walked into that thinking, what in the world am I doing here? And I remember being so afraid. And I remember being in the first staff meeting we had, and I thought, they must just think I'm the biggest idiot in the world. I'm tripping over my words. I'm walking into the cafeteria. Kids are acting bonkers. The staff is not respecting me at all, and I'm just terrified. I knew it was the job God had for me, but I was terrified. What's interesting about that is that went on for a short time, and God did nothing about it. Didn't do anything about it. I'm his child, And I'm in that situation. He's doing nothing about it. Nothing's changing. Nothing is getting better. The staff's not all of a sudden being brainwashed to like me, and the kids just are not falling into place because Mike's there. Nope. Nothing changed. It kept getting worse. Well, just like that woman, nothing changed in her life till she did something.
That's right. Amen.
Oh, this is real popular because it's real quiet in here today. We don't like being responsible in America. We like everybody else because our American churches have taught us God, whatever God wants, God is sovereign. That's the kind of garbage that has the body of Christ sick, has the body of Christ broke, because everybody's sitting around on their lazy rear ends waiting for God to do something, and God's sitting up there on his throne saying, you do something. Yeah.
Praise God.
And until that woman, you don't think that Jesus had compassion on her? We know he did, but he did nothing for her until she did something. Blind Bartimaeus sat on the side of the road crying out to Jesus. And the Bible said Jesus just kept right on going. He didn't go track the blind man down. No doubt Jesus would see the sick and the lame on the side of the road. He didn't go track them down. He waited for them to track him down.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Why? Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Seek God and then these things will happen. And that's the way it is with faith. Until you do something about it. Well, I said, okay, God's not doing anything. I said, I know what I need to do. Faith comes by hearing. So I took my little planner that I had. I had to start carrying a planner. I mean, that in itself was different. I mean, it did make me feel like I belonged. I mean, I had a clipboard and everything with a pen attached. I mean, I'm like, I'm in now. They don't even know what kind of a joker they put in this job. I would think that. I just laugh and praise God anyways. I don't take myself very serious. But I put on that back of that planner, I put 3x5 cards. And I had verses like, thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. 2 Corinthians 1:20. I put 1 John 4 and verse 4, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Romans 8:37, right? I'm more if God be for us, who can be against us, right? We're more than conquerors. I put, this is the victory that overcomes the world. Put all those verses on, and I just kept meditating on it. That I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I began to say, oh, no, I'm in charge of this place. This place is turning around. They're going to listen to me. They're going to respect me. If they don't, they're going to have to go. And man, I'll tell you, in 2-year time frame, when I went to quit that job, they were in such trouble. I mean, to fire the person in the middle of the school year shows you how bad it was. At the end of the 2 years, I'm kid you not, they were begging me to stay. All because of Jesus. All because I got my faith on the situation. I got that program in such working order and in line and weeded out the bad staff, got in the good staff, and just made that thing run so smoothly. But it all started because I built my faith up. It all started because I built my faith up. Go with me to Mark 4 and verse 24. Mark 4 and verse 24. The word's good.
Amen.
This series, by the way, will change your whole life if you'll let it. You know what the faith life has brought me? Things that I never could have imagined I would ever have. That's what faith has brought me. Faith has caused things to manifest in my life that seemed like would never, ever, 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 ever be experienced.
Sure.
Faith brought him into my life.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Mark 4:24, and he said unto them, take heed, beware, I'm warning you, Jesus is saying, what you hear. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Well, remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He said, take heed to what you hear. Okay, so Jesus said we need to be careful of what we are hearing. Now go with me to Luke 8 and verse 18. So don't forget that. Jesus said, take heed to what you're hearing. Luke 8 and verse 18. Praise God. Now Jesus says, take heed, therefore, how you hear. Do you see that? So in one place, Jesus said, make sure you're being careful of what you're hearing. Now he says, be careful of how you're hearing. So to close out the message today, I want to look at these two things. The how up there, and then in Mark 4, the what of how we're hearing. If the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, And then Jesus says, take heed on how and what you're hearing. We better take heed on how and what we're hearing. Right. Amen? Yeah. So are you ready? Praise God.
Amen.
The word, and we're going to go with the how first. The word how means this. In what way or what manner? So Jesus is saying, take heed of what way, in what manner you're hearing the word of God. Take heed of what you're hearing, of what manner or how you're hearing. Do you see that? Praise God. Hallelujah. And I would ask you this question. Are you hearing the word of God? So I am right now, but I mean in your life, are you hearing the word of God? So let's get going with this in the how. And I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm going to prove it by Bible, so don't tune me out and think, oh, here we go again. I'm going to show you the primary way of the how, because Jesus said, take heed how, so we better be careful how we're hearing it. The how's important, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Notice that it's not just hearing it, it's how you're hearing it.
That's good.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
The primary way that you are meant to hear the word of God is through your pastor. They might say, oh, here we go. You're right, here we go. Because I'll tell you what, people don't have any, and I'm saying it as a whole, not in this church, as a whole, don't have any revelation of the local church and the shepherd in the local church. The primary way that you're meant to hear the word of God, the how, is through your shepherd. You will never, ever, ever just get to the place where God has for you just hearing the word on your own. But the word sown through the anointed gift in your life has the ability to get you places that you never could have gotten yourself.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't be offended by this statement, because I'm just going to just slap you right across the face with a wet towel with it.
Come on.
You are not anointed to feed yourself.
That's right.
You are not anointed to take it upon yourself to figure out how you're going to grow into what God has for you. The Bible calls you sheep. Now, that might seem like, man, that's derogatory. No, because it came from Jesus' mouth. It's not a lesser term. But it would do you a favor if you would quickly recognize who you are, because when you recognize who you are, you'll know exactly what you need.
That's good.
Sheep know that they need a shepherd.
Yes.
Take the shepherd out from the sheep, and you have struggling sheep. You're not anointed to get yourself to the place that you need to go. I know, because I'm living proof of that. Listen, I got born again, and life was still hard until I got hooked up with a shepherd, started doing what the shepherd said, then things changed. It wasn't the name. Listen, there are many people in the body of Christ that are born again whose life looks like a living hell. I know a lot of them. I'm family with a lot of them. I'm friends with a lot of them who are still broke and sick, yet they're born again. They're in the family.
Yeah.
It's just the truth. We ought to not be that way. When you're in the family of God, you ought to be living like the family of God.
Amen.
See, things didn't change for me because I got born again. They did on the inside. I got saved. I was heaven-bound. But there's a lot of heaven-bound people who are miserable.
Yeah.
A lot of heaven-bound people who are broke. A lot of heaven-bound people who are depressed and worried and anxious and fearful and sick in their body. When it all changed for me, when the addictions fell off, when the sickness fell off, when the mental anguish and torment that I had fell off, when all that started to be wiped away from me, was when I got connected with a pastor who had a gift on his life, and he brought me to a place I could never bring myself.
Yeah, that's true. Amen.
There's a gentleman at the Jamestown Church who just... It's amazing how God will change your life when you do it his way. He just got married to a wonderful woman at the Jamestown Church. I saw him the first time at a Dr. Dufresne service. I used to hunt with him. I've told this story a few times. I used to hunt with him when I was little. I actually saw him fall out of a tree stand and break his arm, and I almost barfed my brains out. I mean, the look on his face and the noises that were coming out of him, oh, I was like, that's not good. I don't do well with that kind of stuff. But anyways, I knew that he gotten off track and that he got really mixed up into really wrong living and mental things and just addictions and stuff. And I saw him at a Dr. Dufresne service in Jamestown years ago. And when I saw him, I'm serious, it was like, I was shocked. I couldn't believe that he was in church. I was so happy. But I couldn't believe I got to talking with him. And, you know, he still had a lot of the tendencies, you know, very shaky and just on edge and real nervous, but he was there. And I said, brother, let's get together sometime. And so we went and walked around the woods where I saw him fall out of a tree years earlier. And I was able to lead him in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and he got filled with the Holy Spirit that day. And we got to talk, and I said, Jeff, tell me I didn't get the testimony until he got filled with the Holy Ghost. And then I had met with him again a short time later, and the shakiness was gone. All the pills and stuff that he was addicted to because he was getting off other stuff but got addicted to other things, all those were gone. He said to me, Pastor Mike, I don't even smoke cigarettes anymore, and that had the biggest hold on me of anything. I said, brother, tell me your story. He said, a few years ago, I was walking down the road, depressed as all get out, miserable, just hating life, and I would see a bundle of pile of newspapers on the other side of the street, and it would make me so mad. I'd just get mad and start swearing. Who litters like that? He said, finally, I got sick of seeing it. I went over and picked up the newspaper, and there were Bible verses on the newspaper. Well, the Word of God's alive. The Word of God's powerful. Well, the Word started speaking to him when he's looking at those crumpled up newspapers that he was ticked off seeing every day. And he's looking at those papers and it's speaking to him. Well, that causes him to get a hunger for the things of God. So he starts studying the Bible for 2 years. He said, at the end of the 2 years, he said, I came to the conclusion that the Bible's pointing me that I can't do this by myself.
That's right.
That God always anoints a man or a woman to take me to a higher place. He said, I need a shepherd. I said, my God, you need to preach that and shout that from the rooftops, because a lot of people don't understand and have that revelation. And they're living far below what God has for them because they've not submitted to the shepherd. They're sheep wandering around doing it themselves. Go find a natural sheep who's just doing it by himself, who has to fend for his own food, fend for his own protection, fend to mend his own wounds and stuff. That sheep's not going to do very well. He might get by for a while, but it's going to catch up to him. It's the sheep that are protected and guarded and in the pasture with the shepherd are the ones that are the safest, the ones that are the most well-fed, the most well-taken care of. He said, I need a pastor. I said, I got hooked up in the family church, Jamestown. Pastor Tim started just doing the Word. He said, things just falling off me like crazy. All started with a shepherd. Here he got born again on that road that day. Nothing changed. 2 years he struggled with those things. Got a shepherd, boom. Everything changed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Go to John chapter 21. The second thing we're going to look at in the what does not take this long. But this is important because Jesus said, how are you hearing? And I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning, but it's important to drill this into you. John 21, and I'm not going to read this for time's sake because we don't have time, but John 21 verses 15 through 17 is the portion of Scripture where Jesus asked Peter, he said, Peter, do you love me? Here he's asking Peter, do you love me? And Peter, by the third time, is mad, kind of, and says, you know that I love you, Jesus. Why are you asking me this? Well, all three times that Jesus asked him, do you love me? Peter said, yes. And Jesus followed up with this. He said, feed my sheep. Well, he wasn't talking about the sheep in the back 40. He's talking about the sheep, the body of Christ. Feed my people. Well, he wasn't talking about feeding them a potluck casserole. He's talking about Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He's saying, feed my sheep the word of God. Now, you have to understand something, and for time's sake, again, you can just write this down. Acts chapter 6 says that a minister's job is to pray and to continually pray and to continually minister the word of God. That's a minister's primary job. Pray and minister the word. Well, minister the word is feeding the sheep the word. And Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, the one way you can prove to me that you love me and that you really care about me and that you're on board with me is you can make sure my sheep are fed. Notice Jesus was saying, my sheep need to be fed by somebody. They don't have the ability to feed themselves and to get by with just that alone. Go to Matthew chapter 9, and we will read this. Matthew 9 and verse 35. Praise God. Listen, we don't magnify men. But we do magnify the gifts on men's lives. Paul said it himself. He said, I magnify my office. He knew who he was as a man. He was Saul of Tarsus. He was worthless. He was a horrible person. But with God and the gifts, he was somebody. Listen, I'm just a normal man, but I'm a normal man with a gift. And when the gift operates, that's when the blessings can flow. Amen? But see, if you fail to recognize that in your shepherd, if you fail to recognize, oh, he's got something on his life to get me where I need to go, you won't receive from that. And a lot of times it's just pride. It's just pride. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. The Bible says in the Amplified, he had pity on them because they fainted and were scattered. The Amplified says they were dejected, distressed, harassed, and bewildered, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus had compassion or pitied a group of people for one reason and one reason only. They didn't have a shepherd. Now, here's a revelation for everybody. And for all those people out there, I don't necessarily mean in here, but in the world that say, listen, I mean, I don't know how many times people find out I'm a pastor, say, well, you know, I don't go to church. And I don't really, and they start to give me the spiel, I don't really feel like I need to go to church. You know, I have my Bible, and God knows my heart. Yeah, God knows you are an immature, disobedient baby Christian is what you are. If you want to just cut to the chase, that's who you really are. I've yet to tell someone that to their face, but maybe I should because that's what they are. When they're spouting off like that, they almost do it from a place of pride. That I got my Jesus in my Bible and that's all I need. He knows my heart. Yeah. He knows you're really wrong and off, pal. He knows you're dejected and harassed, bewildered and distressed like sheep without a shepherd. That's what you are. Hallelujah. Notice Jesus was there with them and had pity on them and said, you need more than this. So I guess your Jesus and your Bible aren't enough. Because your Jesus and your Bible are going to point, get your butt in church under a shepherd. Praise God. But here's what you need to know. Just calling me Pastor Mike. Oh, do you have a pastor? Yeah, his name is Pastor Mike. But if you're not here when feeding times are open, what am I to you? The thing that I am to you is the supernatural feeding supplement in your life. It's not just saying, oh, I have a pastor. I have a pastor. No, no, no. The role of the minister is to continually feed you the Word of God. So when feeding times are open, you're here.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Now you say, well, I can't be here all the time. Well, why don't you use your faith so you can be?
Yeah,
see, sheep, when it's dinner time, they don't skip out. They know it's time to eat. Everything in them naturally says, I got to go eat. To survive, to be strong, I need to make sure I'm there at dinner time. But the body of Christ, pastor has a midweek service, pastor has a Sunday service, pastor gets from heaven what the sheep need, pastor's feeding the sheep, doors are wide open, feeding time, and sheep aren't nowhere to be found.
That's good.
Why? No revelation on it. No revelation on it. And if you're sitting there with that attitude and thinking, well, you don't understand my life, I'm not asking you to quit your life and to stop your job and to put your family in jeopardy. But what I am asking you is what God is asking you. Put a little faith behind something to put yourself in a position to be in feeding times. Because without the feeding times, is that without the growth times? Why? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word. But you can't just feed yourself. There's an anointing that comes from your shepherd that gives you faith for things that you can't have with just your Bible in your bedroom.
That's right. That's good.
Because there's things that I will say that will strike such a chord that will give you an answer to something that you've been seeking forever on your own. But when it was come out of the anointed mouth of your shepherd, boom, everything changed. Everything changed. Hallelujah. We have feeding times. Praise God. Be there at feeding times. Don't miss your feeding times. See, if God thought you were anointed enough to get to where you needed by yourself, why would he call shepherds? Yeah, I'm just going to say it. You know I know who I know I am. You know that I know who I really am without him. So when I say this, don't you dare think there's any bit of arrogance in me or pride when I say this. But why, when the first thing that Jesus did, when the Bible says he first descended, then ascended on high, led captivity captive, the first thing he did was give gifts to men.
Yeah.
The first thing he did, the Bible says in Ephesians 4, when he went up, he said, I got to leave gifts to men. What are the gifts? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He said, I'm leaving you people that will get you somewhere, praise God, that you can't get on your own. He said in verse 11, he said, I give you apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. You can never be perfected without a gift that Jesus gave you. And the best gift that Jesus ever gave you out of those five ministry gifts of apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher is the pastor by far, because Jesus said people are not scattered and faint without an apostle. They're not scattered and faint or distressed, harassed, and bewildered without a prophet or without a teacher or an evangelist. He said, the shepherd or the pastor is the one gift out of the five ministry gifts that if people don't avail their lives to, they will struggle. If it wasn't important, why is the first thing he did for you is leave you somebody? That's how vital and important it is. Praise God. Hallelujah. God's good. That's the primary way. Now we'll go to the second one. This won't take long at all. I'll just say what I need to say and get this thing over with. He said, not only do you have to worry about the how or take heed the how, he said you have to be concerned with the what that comes in. Jake, will you pull up Romans 10:17 again? Faith comes by hearing. Do you see that? Well, do you know a lot of people have faith that they're going to be sick? They do. We have family members that tell us, oh, if flu season comes around, we'll be first to get it. They have faith that they're going to get it. I'm telling you, they do. People that go on trips and stuff, oh, what's going to happen? They just have faith in the negative. You can have faith in good things and faith in bad things. I'm going to tell you right now, the Buffalo Bills and the Chicago Cubs will never win a championship when I'm alive. That's where my faith is. I'm just telling you, that is where my faith is. I'm telling you right now, I hope I have to eat crow, and I want them both to win a title, but it ain't happening. As long as I'm alive, if you're a fan of one of those teams, I apologize. You are not going to win if I'm alive. My faith is so strong, and my team's never winning. But you can have faith in good things and bad things, right? Praise the Lord. And the Bible says there's a law of hearing, that whatever you hear, you're going to have faith for. So no wonder Jesus said, be careful of what you're hearing. Because whatever you're hearing is what you're having faith on. You have to understand your ears are your faith gates. Your faith all starts with these thingies right there. Whatever goes in them, faith comes. Go to Psalms chapter 1. This will be the last verse we look at. Psalms chapter 1. Amen. Oh, I just thought about the fact that we have to do... Oh, you don't want this. This isn't anything good. That we're going to have to do those stupid Bills predictions soon. I just thought that season's coming. We got to keep that dumb tradition going. Back by unpopular demand. Ugh. Did anybody see them play the other night? It doesn't look like it's going to be good this year. Blessed is the man. Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1. Blessed is the man. That word blessed in the Hebrew means fortunate, happy, one that is envied. Now notice this. This is important. That walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. So he doesn't take counsel of ungodly things. He takes counsel in godly things. And in his law does he meditate day and night. What happens then? Well, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit, in a season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he shall do shall prosper. Can you go back to verse 1, please? The Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel. What's the counsel? Advice. Yapping from something. Well, what's ungodliness? Ungodliness is just anything unlike God. Doubt, worry, fear, unbelief. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says, be careful what you're hearing. But yet, Christians, on purpose, they might not know they're doing it, but they're the ones doing it, put themselves in positions to hear a whole lot of things that they shouldn't hear. What do I mean? When things go south in their life, they call the wrong people. They tell the wrong people. They seek out the wrong counsel, the wrong advice. And so then they get back, oh my gosh, that's terrible. Oh my gosh, what are you going to do? Oh my gosh, that's horrible. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. There's two people in this church right now. One of them I had to tell, well, it was Jake. I had to tell him in California that he was getting canned from his job when he got back home. That was fun. But when I told him that, what did we do, Jake? We celebrated. We had a party. I said, I got good news for you, brother. What's that? Just so you know, when you get back, you don't got a job. Someone at his work told me he was getting fired. Wasn't his fault. Actually, everybody that started coming to the church from that hotel got canned because the devil just rears up. And then they kicked us out of the hotel. You know, we had about 3-4 weeks in Olean where we didn't have church because the devil was just raising his ugly head, but we're going to give the devil back double. We're going to get double for our trouble, even missing those 3-4 services. And I sat there with Jake. I said, this is the best thing ever. Congratulations on your firing. The lady came over. I bought him, I think, do we have ribs that night? I can't remember if we had rib dinner or what did we have. We had some big meal, and the lady came over. She said, you want dessert? I said, absolutely, we want dessert. We're celebrating. She said, oh, what are you celebrating? I said, he just got fired. And she looked at us like we were crazy, and I couldn't contain it. I laugh when you're not supposed to, and when you're not supposed to laugh, it makes me laugh even harder. And I am like just crying at the table, and we're celebrating, and we got this big chocolate dessert, and we were just so happy, and I just kept pointing at him saying, you got fired. But I'm like, watch, brother, it'll be the best thing that ever happened to you. Yeah, that's what you need to hear when ding dong, open your door, and hell's staring at you. You need somebody to tell you this is not the end. This is the beginning to the best days of the rest of your life. God's going to make this work. God's going to turn this around. You don't need going in your faith gates how scary it is, how depressing it is, because in faith and with God, there's no down days. There's no bad news that can trump what God can do for you. But people, man, they get around family who are negative. They get online. They start listening to all sorts of things. Stop listening to that garbage. That's where your faith's going to be. He said, be careful what you hear, what you hear, what you hear. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm gonna get up on my soapbox now. I'm going to shut my Bible here because if I fall off the soapbox, I'm going to knock this Bible off here, and it's so nice and pretty. I don't want to ruin my nice, pretty Bible. So I'm going to get on my soapbox. Be careful what you hear. We don't realize the music, the media, the entertainment that we subject our ears, our faith gates to for hours and hours and hours, what that's doing for your faith. It's putting into you faith for all the wrong things that they're singing about. All the doubt and unbelief and the heartache and the sorrow that the world has. I mean, let's face it, country music fans, a whole lot of that music is just a big pile of depression. Let's be honest, a whole lot of the world's music, a whole lot of entertainment, and the news, people constantly watch the news, pump fear into them nonstop. People are just trembling and afraid. Why? All they do. There's certain things, like, I remember one time I was going to watch a movie, and, you know, I like to check, you know, what's in it, content and different things before I do, just because I don't want to subject my eyes and ears to things that I'm going to have to struggle with later. And I saw, okay, well, this would be okay to watch. But then I found out what the plot behind the movie was, and it had to deal with something happening to a child. And I said, no, I'm not watching that. I said, I don't want any fear getting into me about my kids. I'm going to bypass that because I know faith comes by hearing. And if I hear the wrong thing, I'm going to have to battle that. When I'm releasing faith for my children, I don't want to have to battle that. I don't want to have to battle that. Praise God. So I'll just tell you this. You do whatever you want in your life, but I'd be careful what I'm letting in my ears. Because faith for the things of the Word of God are only going to come when you hear the Word of God. You ought to turn your car into a Bible school. You ought to turn your home into a Bible school. You ought to turn, you know, all this recreation time that you're sitting there with a bowl of Cheetos on your belly, watching hours of TV every night. Why don't you try putting some Word in you? So then when the financial things go crazy, you have faith for it because you've been built up. When the physical things happen, you have faith because you've been built up. Listen, I'm not against entertainment. I'm not against enjoying things. I'm not at all. In fact, I got a huge TV that we bought just for the kids and I, and us family, we could watch the movie together. I'm not against those things, but I'll tell you what, my ears are very important to me because they're where faith starts. And if you want faith for the right things, you better make sure the right things are going into your ear, or you'll have wrong faith. So what's the beginning, the trigger pull? Hearing it. You got to hear the word. Find out what God has said about your situation. Get it in your ears. Get faith for it and start going down that road. All of a sudden she heard, I can be healed. She went down that road. Praise God. Let's give him praise this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for everything you've given us. For everything you've given us. Oh, hallelujah. We love you, Master. We bless you. We bless you, Master. We bless you, Master. Let's just keep praising him and waiting on him. I'm checking my spirit right now just to make sure something. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. We magnify you and honor you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. We bless you. We thank you for everything. Thank you for everything. Thank you for everything. Oh, Lord, is there anything that you want to do this morning? Oh, thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We honor and magnify you. We praise your name. We praise your name. We praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Who here is in desperate need of money right now? If it's you, come forward. If you're in desperate need of money, don't wait. I'm telling you, don't wait. Come forward right now. Obey God. Desperate need of money right now. Come forward. Hallelujah. Just line them up. You line them up. Go right to them and line them up. Hallelujah. Desperate need of money. That's what come up in my heart. Just give me a little room to walk here in the front. Praise God. Yeah. Just as long as there's just a little bit of room. That's perfect. This is what I'm going to do. We're going to... Now, you can look at me right now because I need you to pay attention to some things because you have a part to play in this. I'm going to break the power of the devil over your life with the anointing that's on my life and take his hands off your money. We are then going to command the angels to go, their ministering spirit sent to help us, to bring us the money that we need. Now, your role, and I don't know this, whether it's true or not, because I don't look. If any of you are not tithers, just go sit down, because it won't work. If any of you are not givers, just go sit down, because it won't work. If any of you are going to sit here and hold grudges against people and be angry and be miserable towards people and just hold unforgiveness in your heart, go sit down. This won't work. So with that being said, I don't see anybody sitting down, so either you're embarrassed or you qualify. You're good. Amen? Because those things will absolutely hinder God from doing what needs to be done in your life. And so when I pray and we break the power over the devil, I'm going to do that with my words, then I'm going to come lay hands on you. And we're going to believe that the angels, when we summons them to go, they're going to come. And from this point forward, what you're going to do is you're going to walk out of here, and the thing that's going to come out of your mouth, it can't be down on unbelief. It's going to be, Father, I thank you. All the money. All the money I need, it comes. All the money I need, it comes. All the money I need, it comes. Thank you, Father, for all the money I need. Amen? Let's go ahead and let's pray. Hallelujah. And ushers, you get right behind them in case they do fall. Praise God. Father, we thank you. You are our provider. You are our supply. You are our victory. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are the El Shaddai. And Father, we thank you that the devil has no place in this church and no place in these people's lives. Father, I thank you the devil has to obey our commands. I thank you that the angels hearken unto the voice of the Word of God. So in the name of Jesus, now you make sure you're all agreeing with me on this. In the name of Jesus, Satan, you take your hands off of their money. You loose it, you let it go, you drop it once and for all. Now he has to obey me because the Bible says I have authority over him. So now in the spirit realm, the money that you need has been dropped. But now it's just sitting there. Now we need to get it and gather it up to bring it to you. Well, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2 that angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those that are heirs of salvation. You are all heirs of salvation. So now the money has been loosed and freed. So now we're going to believe God for the angels to go forth and to get that money. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, ministering spirits, we command you, go forth and gather up all the money that these people need. all the supply, all the abundance, all the harvest, gather it up and bring it to them. In Jesus' name we pray, and it's coming. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Be blessed. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, be blessed. Be free. Hallelujah. Finances come to you. Finances come to you. In the name of Jesus, finances come to you. We command and we speak blessing on his business. We command and we speak increase on his business. Favor, ideas, and blessing for his business. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for increase. We thank you for increase. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for increase for her. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for increase for her. And it'll come to pass. 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 Now, if you just had hands laid on you, begin to lift your hands and thank Jesus for the money. Because faith has actions with it. Faith has actions with it. If you really believe the money's coming, you might get happy. Hallelujah. If you really believe the money was on its way, you'd rejoice. If you really believed the money was coming and you were going to be free, you'd be happy about that. Praise God. Father, we thank you for the money. We thank you for the testimonies that will come. Father, this whole miracle thing is not just set aside just for physical things. Father, the miracles include everything anybody would need in their life. So, Father, we thank you for change in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I know everybody in here is born again, but there might be people listening by live stream. And everybody asks herself this question, who can hear my voice, whether you're here or not here, whether it's in the future or not in the future. Thank you, sir. If today was my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Ask yourself that question. Today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Well, the Bible says you can if you accept Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anybody in here that's never received Jesus but you want to? Anybody at all? I didn't think we'd have any hands, but I always like to check. But if you're listening by live stream or in the future on this service that's archived, all you have to do is say, Lord, I believe you died and rose again. I believe that you are real. I'm asking you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Real quick, I did keep you long today, but I apologize for that. But I'm still getting you out before lunchtime. And don't forget, we have fellowship down in the old sanctuary. Avail yourself to that. Wednesday night service at 6:30. We'll see you all back here then. You're dismissed. Have a great weekend.